Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Money School 12, Simple Lessons to Master Financial Markets and Investing by Nicole Lappin is a personal finance and investing guide designed as a structured course for readers who want a clearer working knowledge of financial markets. Lappin, known for translating finance topics into accessible language, organizes the book into four courses with three lessons each. The progression moves from the stock market to debt instruments, then to more advanced securities, and finally to portfolio construction. Rather than presenting investing as a set of tips or predictions, the book frames it as a vocabulary and decision-making system that ordinary investors can learn. Its purpose is practical financial education, helping beginners understand how markets function, what common investment products represent, and how different assets can fit together in a diversified plan. Features such as self-assessment quizzes and a financial dictionary reinforce the course format and make the book useful as both an introduction and a reference. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a course-based structure that turns market literacy into sequential lessons. The most distinctive feature of the Money School is its instructional architecture. Lappin does not organize the material as a loose collection of money advice. She frames it as a course divided into four sections, each with three lessons, so readers encounter investing concepts in a deliberate order. This matters because financial markets are often intimidating, not only because of risk, but because of the density of specialized language. A beginner who tries to understand derivatives before learning how stocks and bonds work is likely to confuse product complexity with investment sophistication. The book reduces that problem by introducing concepts from more familiar to more advanced. The course model also implies that investing knowledge is cumulative. Each lesson builds a base for the next, moving from basic market participation to security types, and then to portfolio design. The quizzes and financial dictionary support this pedagogy by encouraging recall and offering a reference point when terminology becomes dense. This structure makes the book closer to a guided primer than a market commentary. Its strength is not in revealing a secret strategy, but in creating a manageable path through concepts that many readers have heard about but never fully connected. Secondly, the stock market is presented as an accessible system, not a speculative casino. The opening course focuses on the stock market, which is a logical starting point because stocks are often the first asset class people associate with investing. Lappin treats the market as a major force in the financial system, but the emphasis is on understanding rather than prediction. Topics such as basic market mechanics, fundamental analysis, and technical analysis help readers separate different ways of looking at securities. Fundamental analysis encourages attention to the underlying business, including its financial condition and prospects. Technical analysis, by contrast, studies price behavior and trading patterns. Presenting both approaches is useful because it shows that market decisions can be informed by different kinds of evidence, while also implying that no single method removes uncertainty. The book appears designed to demystify Wall Street vocabulary without encouraging overconfidence. That distinction is important for beginners, who may swing between avoiding stocks entirely and treating them as quick profit opportunities. By introducing the stock market as a system of ownership, pricing, liquidity, and risk, the book helps readers see why equities can be powerful but volatile. The value of this section is in making market participation intellectually accessible before readers move into more specialized instruments. Thirdly, beneficial debt instruments show how investors can own debt rather than owe it. A central teaching point in the book is the difference between owing debt and owning debt. Many personal finance books focus mainly on eliminating consumer debt, which is important but incomplete as market education. Lappin adds the investor perspective by explaining instruments such as certificates of deposit, treasury bonds, government bonds, corporate bonds, and international bonds. These products show that debt is not only a burden on households, it is also a structure through which institutions borrow and investors receive interest or principal repayment under defined terms. This distinction broadens financial literacy because it connects familiar ideas such as borrowing and interest to capital markets. It also helps readers understand why bonds are commonly used for income, stability, or diversification, even though they carry their own risks, including interest rate risk, credit risk, and inflation risk. By treating debt as an investable category, the book gives readers a more complete view of financial markets than a stock-only primer would provide. The reasoning is practical portfolios are rarely built from equities alone, and understanding fixed income instruments gives investors more tools for matching risk tolerance, time horizon, and cash flow needs. Fourthly, advanced securities are introduced to expand awareness without making complexity the goal. The third course moves into more advanced securities such as commodities, currencies, and derivatives. For a beginner-oriented investing book, This is a notable inclusion because many introductory guides avoid these areas or mention them only briefly. Lapin appears to use them not as recommendations for every reader, but as part of a broader map of how financial markets operate. Commodities connect investing to physical goods and global supply-demand conditions. Currencies reveal how exchange rates, national economies, and monetary policy can affect financial outcomes. Derivatives, which derive value from underlying assets or benchmarks, show how markets can be used for hedging, speculation, or risk transfer. The practical benefit of this section is awareness. Even if readers never trade futures, options, or currency products directly, they may encounter them through funds, headlines, retirement accounts, or broader market movements. Introducing these instruments helps prevent the common beginner mistake of assuming that unfamiliar products are either automatically dangerous or automatically sophisticated. The balance lesson is that complexity requires context. Advanced securities can serve specific purposes, but they demand clearer knowledge of leverage, liquidity, pricing, and downside exposure than simpler investments. Lastly, portfolio construction links individual products to personal financial objectives. The final part of the book brings the earlier lessons together through funds, asset allocation, and portfolio rebalancing. This is where the guide shifts from identifying investment products to combining them in a coherent plan. The distinction is important because knowing what stocks, bonds, commodities, or funds are does not automatically tell a person how much exposure to hold, when to adjust, or how to judge whether a portfolio fits personal goals. Asset allocation addresses the distribution of money across categories, which is often more important for long-term outcomes than selecting any single security. Funds offer a practical mechanism for diversification, especially for readers who do not want to analyze individual securities. Rebalancing, then, introduces the discipline of periodically restoring a portfolio to intended proportions after market movements change the mix. The book frames financial success as something readers define for themselves, which keeps portfolio construction tied to individual time horizons and risk tolerance rather than generic wealth targets. This section is practical because it connects education to implementation. It suggests that market knowledge should end not in scattered trades, but in a diversified, reviewable structure. In conclusion, The Money School is best suited for readers who want a structured introduction to investing rather than a narrow plan for picking stocks or chasing market trends. It is especially useful for beginners, self-directed learners, and people who feel blocked by financial jargon but want to understand the major categories of market participation. The practical benefit is a stronger vocabulary for interpreting financial news, evaluating common investment products, and discussing portfolio choices with more confidence. The intellectual benefit is a clearer sense of how stocks, bonds, funds, advanced securities, allocation, and rebalancing relate to one another as parts of a market ecosystem, compared with many personal finance books. This one stands out for focusing less on budgeting and everyday money management and more on the mechanics of markets and investing instruments. Compared with more technical investing manuals, it stands out for its course-like organization, plain language approach, quizzes, and glossary support. It does not appear positioned as an advanced trading guide or a guarantee of market performance. Its realistic value is foundational. It helps readers move from vague familiarity to informed participation. For someone building basic investment literacy, that combination of structure, breadth, and accessibility is the main reason the book occupies a useful place in the personal finance category. If you would like to support Nicole Lapin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.